Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
I may never sing again. I might have to retire singing.
Back in town.
Not doing it. Not off of that display of baseball. Joke of a manager. There you go. How about that? You happy with that one?
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the Fan. On this Thursday morning, McMonagall here with you for 3 hours. You know how it goes by now. I don't have to tell you these minute details of how we do things. We're taking it all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Fliegerman on the other side, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. And as pennant baseball saga begins, it continues, excuse me, rather, we continue with another day. The Mets, 7 in a row. 7's the magic number. 7 little chipmunks twirl on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. The Mets may never lose again. They completely shut down just Devers and every other Red Sox. They continue to pitch, whether it be the starting rotation, the bullpen. They jump out to leads. Winker with a grand slam. They've been playing playoff baseball now for a month with an urgency. Lindor continues to hit this Met team surging. Trying to get past the Atlanta Braves, who haven't lost to the Colorado Rockies, but they are now still a half game back of Atlanta, battling, fighting, doing better for the Yankees than the Yankees do for themselves as they at least knock down the Red Sox. And it's going to get to the point where the Mets are going to finish, theoretically, with a way better record. This National League playoff is so much more interesting than the crap that we get from the American League. And we'll get to the Mets, I know, but listen, this is what we do. We live in the negative. I heard Keith listening. God bless him. I hear him. We're going to talk Mets. But we got to talk about this disaster. Because as great and as hot as the Mets have been, you live in the misery. And right now, the Yankees are presenting us misery. And last night, first of all, my first thought about last night is what is so frustrating about the night before. Because right now, I know Marcus Stroman's been better his last three starts. Who trusts Marcus Stroman out on the mound? Honestly, watching him make non-competitive pitches, typically his bad results in everything outside the strike zone by a mile, and he ends up walking, and then when he has to come into the strike zone, he gets killed. In this game, he just threw fastball down the middle after fastball down the middle and was getting absolutely crushed. And that's why when you have a lead, when you have a game, when you have a series in hand, that night, that game the other night where Clay Holmes blew the game, and yes, we found out earlier yesterday that the Yankees are no longer going to commit to Clay Holmes as the closer. They're going to do bullpen by committee or whatever they're going to tell you. They're going to get creative with it, which is really the only option they had. They don't have another option. I screamed about that last night. No need to scream about it again. Brian Cashman did not give this team a legitimate option to go to another closer. They don't have one. And we'll get into all the different elements. And I know Luis Gil seems to be the name everybody wants to bring and just throw him in the closer role like it's easy. Like he's even been the pitcher he was the first 2 months of the season. A, he hasn't been. And two, you want to just throw this young kid who's never pitched out of the bullpen, just suddenly make him the Yankees closer come October? Yeah, that sounds like a winning idea to me. The Yankees don't have an option out of the bullpen. So that's why they got to get creative. But watching last night, the disgusting performance that was last night, and it's not just Marcus Stroman, and it's not just losing the game 10-6, and it's not just the dregs of the bullpen coming in and getting pounded. Because you know what? Unfortunately, and we'll get into this in a little bit later, and we understand, I heard the last caller to Keith talk about everyone's bullpen, and it's fairly true, but when you are down big and you have to bring in the Tim Mazes of the world and the dregs of this bullpen, that's what typically happens. A 6-0 game becomes a 10-2 game because the bullpen stinks overall. I mean, it's just a terrible bullpen right now. And even though you have some faith, maybe not closing out games necessarily, but Cousins and whoever else, the middle of the bullpen stinks on ice. But it's not just the typical game where it's 5-0, 6-1, 6-2, 10-2, where it happens every single time. And I know they had a rousing comeback we were all very excited about. But what's frustrating about it is the style of play. There's no doubt about it. And yes, we're going to harp on Verdugo, who does not run to first base, and the manager's comments on it. But it's not just that either. It's, let's be fair, it's everybody. It's everybody. Judge getting a bad read on a ball that lands with a 95% catch probability. And you know what? He's been bad defensively. He's been throwing to the wrong cutoff man and the wrong base. We know what Soto's been. He's lazy on a single that turns into a double and costs the Yankees a run. It's every little thing. It's the play at first base from LeMahieu. It's what they've done in this series. It's been disgusting. And that's what's frustrating. It frustrates you. It frustrates all of us. Whether or not we think the team is as bad as it is right now, I don't think they are. But what they show you in games that are pivotal, as the Baltimore Orioles continue to show you, they're just as lousy as the Yankees, as they were in a non-competitive loss to the White Sox. But the Yankees can't take advantage. And it's more than just losing the game. It's the way they're playing. And it's the little things like Soto in the outfield, Judge in the outfield, missing the third base coach on a play you should score a run the other night. It's every little thing about this team. And Verdugo right now is going to get the brunt of it, and I understand why. And the manager's comments, and let's just start there because it's totally true. And although I've been a Boone supporter and I think the hate gets too far, I said it last night. The biggest argument, my biggest argument is when to pull a pitcher, when to take out a pitcher, is in-game decision making. That's not my biggest problem with Aaron Boone. The problem with Aaron Boone is the comfortability that he's provided this team. And last night, even if like the level that he will go to defend his players is obnoxious. And I don't, as even as a Boone defender, as I've been in the past, I can't even disagree with the idea that when he's asked about Verdugo, and I know it's presented, sometimes I hate the way they ask questions. I don't know why it bothers me, but it almost like provides outs for Boone or whoever else. Like when you ask the question, well, on the broadcast, they said. Well, when you say on the broadcast, now you open it up to perception. Just flat out say, Verdugo hasn't run to first base. What's the problem with that? But still, for the manager to come out and say, well, he plays his ass off. Like, he's banged up a little bit. He picks his spots and cite one infield single that he beat out 2 days ago. Like the level that he will go to defend his players is obnoxious. Now, I mean, I think there's levels to it. Like even now, like he benched Gleyber Torres 3 weeks ago. Everybody applauded, clapped for it. Everyone said what a great job it was. Did it make a difference? Did it make a difference with this team? And now it's being used against him. Like, oh, why Gleyber and not Verdugo? Because when you do it for Gleyber, you're hoping it sets a tone with the whole team. It's not computing. And I don't know why. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know if Verdugo's playing his ass off. I don't really care. Verdugo's played his ass on the bench. And that's what is starting to like really just hone in here, is that this team right now isn't the team it should be. And it better not be the team it will be in the next few weeks. And I know it's only 22 games, but there is time here. I am not a doomsday guy. They lost 3 series in a row. They've consistently spit up all over themselves when they've had an opportunity to win any of these series, whether it's the game against St. Louis where they battle back and tie the game at 7 and then the bullpen blows it, whether it's the other night, whether it's the starting pitching on this team, whether it's the offense that goes quiet against left-handed pitching, whatever the case may be, one element of this team continues to jump up and bite them and cost them the ability to win a series. And then the excuse-making after it is getting obnoxious. But having said all that, I still look at this team that is still tied in the loss column with a Orioles team that doesn't want to win either. And whether they're good as they should be, or if they're all in, or if they should be doing this or should be doing that, what Brian Cashman did at the trade deadline, they're interesting topics. We can go over it and over it and over it. You can call me again at 888-808-1019 and tell me Brian Cashman's been coasting on this for years, and it's the last 7 years, and it's this and that. And we can argue, and I'll bring up 2019, and we can play this game over and over again. But the fact of the matter is, right now, today, the Yankees will be hopping a plane going to Chicago with 22 games left and an opportunity to win this division and have as good a chance as any team in the American League to get to the World Series. That's a fact. That's a fact. And if you're going to allow Verdugo, whether you perceive him to be playing his ass off or not, to continue to be the left fielder when you have a stud prospect hitting home runs and being as hot as anyone in the organization over the last 13 games or more than that, and instead of having him come play center field and letting Judge play left field or right field, where he is clearly going to be better than he's been in center field, whether you're going to allow the best team to play or not is going to dictate what happens over the next 22 games. They've already made the decision with the closer. It's a decision they had to have made. It's now a bullpen by committee. Hopefully you have Hamilton coming back. Efros looked good in this game. Hopefully he's an option for you. Things can still change. This team needs a spark. You have a day off before going to Chicago. There is no reason why Birdie shouldn't be on this team and DJ LeMahieu should be cut. You want to send a message to this group? Honestly, you want to send a message to this group? We can scream and cry about it because we hate watching it. He benched Gleyber Torres, and now we're pissed about that. What do you think taking Verdugo out of the game for running slow to first base is going to do at this point? It's not going to do anything. If we're all going to say that Boone's the reason they've cultivated this laissez-faire attitude, fine. Making one decision on one day, 22 games left in the season, isn't going to change it. The only thing you can do to change it is to literally send people packing. And I like DJ LeMahieu. He serves no purpose on this team. Get rid of him. Verdugo was brought here to be a gap holder until Dominguez comes back. Well, Domingo is back. Dominguez is back. Bring him here. Inject some youth. Don't just bench him for a day. Take away his position. Send a two-time batting champion, a gold glover, who can't play first anymore, who's too old to hit, send him off the team and send a message that if you can't play, we're about to go into the American League playoffs, right? And whether it's going to be as a wild card or a division champion, either way, there's a chance to get to the World Series. And I look around the rest of the American League, and yes, it's down. And yes, the Yankees should have done more. And yes, the Yankees should have been all in. And the Yankees should be six games up. And the Yankees should be this and the Yankees should be that. They're not. And it's not acceptable. And we shouldn't accept the idea that they're just another team. And that's a conversation for another day. It is what it is right now. And the team might be just another good team in a lousy American League. Fine. That still provides them a chance to win the championship. Make the changes necessary right now. How can you look at us? How can you look at yourselves and not make the roster moves necessary to provide the best possible team heading into the postseason? You've let Verdugo go on long enough. You let DJ LeMahieu go on long enough. Now, none of those two guys are the reason they particularly lost this game. DJ LeMahieu had his role in why they lost last night's game. But it's time to just acknowledge that there is a push here. And it feels like this team doesn't understand that. It feels like we're good, we'll be fine, we're right there for the division. This will all turn around. It's 22 games left. This is the last series you lose. That should be what is said in the clubhouse. And instead of defending Verdugo, bench him. Instead of defending DJ LeMahieu, get rid of him. It's not about accountability for running the first base. It's playing the best players. And they have a problem at closer. The bullpen's an issue. The starting rotation scares you. And the offense overall has been better. It's about making sure that you are aware that you're playing for something here. And the Yankees act like they aren't. It's hard to understand. It's hard to understand. And if we want to blame the manager, fine. It's a conversation for another day. They're not going to fire Boone right now, nor should they. No matter what you think of him, firing him now is a disaster. He's here. They have options. Birdie, what? 4-for-4. He can play the outfield, play multiple positions. I know he hasn't swung a bat. He hasn't played here in forever. I get it. It doesn't matter. They have to take a real hard look at themselves in this off day as they head into Chicago against a team that's been hot, scoring a ton of runs. They got the pitching matchups. I mean, now they're coming off injury, but we're going to see Luis Gil. You're going to see Clark Schmidt, and you're going to see Gerrit Cole. You can make a very strong argument that those are three. I mean, I know that's certainly not going to put Stroman in that conversation. But Rodon has been very good at times. He can be a dominant pitcher for them. But you can make a case those are three of your most talented pitchers. Start now. You didn't do it on September 1st. Do it now. Because there are no answers in the bullpen, but there are answers to bring the best team possible. And we can talk about what's accepted and what's not. I'm watching it right now. Verdugo doesn't run on base hits. It's not even just on ground balls to second base. And I get it. He's banged up. You pick your spot, you hit a bullet to the second baseman, he fields it. The odds of beating that out are impossible. It's the way you present and respect the game. And he's just not right now. And whether it's because, as David Cohen suggested on the broadcast booth, that he's, you know, miserable and he's down on himself and he's down on his year, whatever the case may be, you know why he's down on this year? Because he's been terrible. Put in a better player. Don't bench him. I'm not looking to make novelty freaking excuses or you know, just for the sake of taking a guy out. We're past that. There's 22 games left. Like, if taking out Gleyber Torres didn't do it for this team, what's going to be ripping him off the field for not running the second base going to do? What is it going to do? You think DJ LeMahieu needs that to field a ground ball at first base? You think Juan Soto needs Verdugo ripped off the field to hustle on a single to make sure the runner doesn't go to second base? Is like that? Is that what these professional players making $30 million a year need? If they do, that ship sailed a long time ago. We can scream about it. I'm pissed off about it. I don't like watching it. I couldn't stand the comments made from Aaron Boone in the postgame. All of that is true. The fact of the matter is, that ship has sailed. That ship has sailed. And the only accountability left is to play the best players. Not take Verdugo out for a game and bench him and say, hey, you've been naughty. No, you've been awful and you're off the team. That's all that's left. Dominguez has got to be here on Friday. Birdie has got to be here on Friday. And the Yankees better start playing some serious baseball come Friday. 888-808-1019. Frustrating loss. for the New York Yankees. An exhilarating win for the New York Mets, who turned more double plays three consecutive innings with three different pitchers, ended three consecutive innings with three double plays. What the how? The Mets getting out of jams. Devers was awful. They completely shut down that Boston Red Sox lineup. They have now won seven in a row. The vibes around this Mets team feel completely different than they've really, I mean, other than that brief stretch where they were really hot and the offense was scoring a ton of runs. I feel better about this team now. This is the best baseball, without question. This, to me, even when they were on that extended hot streak and scoring a ton of runs, this is the best baseball they've played, considering how the bullpen's throwing, considering how the starting pitching is throwing, and considering where they're getting it, you know, up and down the lineup. You've added the Winkers of the world. It seems like, for me, Alonso probably swinging the bat. He's the best he's swung it in a while. And Lindor working his way into that MVP conversation. So as we continue our saga of chase to the pennant, the Mets doing everything they can to try and get in, be a wild card, and be dangerous inside the postseason, and the Yankees doing everything they can to flounder their opportunity to win this division. And it's got to stop today.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So I know we're going to harp on Boone in the postgame, or just, you know, the overall feel of this team, and I won't argue. The level he went to defend Verdugo was obnoxious in the postgame. It was obnoxious. And then it's us against the world, all that kind of stuff. You know, people are going to laugh when the Yankee manager says that, and I get it. He's going to the bag of tricks, man. He's not the first manager, not the first coach to do it. Us against the world, it's an old trick. I don't know if it's going to work with this team. But, like, I'm tired of the, like, honestly, are we trying to, like, what do you want him to do? Fix Verdugo? There is no fixing. There's no more fixing. There's 22 games left. You want to instill some sort of attitude with this team with 22 games left? If they don't have it for a playoff push, honestly, we can blame Aaron Boone for cultivating it. I'm right there with you. All right, let's do it. Want to blame Boone for, I see it everywhere. I see it all over Yankee Twitter. I hear from everybody. He's created this atmosphere. It's okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. So it's okay. All right. Yeah. I don't disagree with it, but at the same time, it's hard for me to understand that DJ LeMahieu makes an error and loses a ball in the lights because it's okay. Like, is that really what we think? We think DJ LeMahieu made that error because the manager's okay with it? You think Gleyber Torres has made all the errors that he's made at second base because the manager's okay with it? Like, he goes home at night and goes, well, you know, typically under other organizations, I'm sure I'd be in trouble, but because I'm not with the Yankees, it's okay to make errors. Like, if that's the case, like, it's almost as much on the player. These are not high school kids. I get it. I'm open to the idea that Boone is has a huge chunk of the blame here. But there's got to be personal responsibility. Like, you know, no one can, like, no one's would have talked about Soto and lackluster playing that ground ball into a double. He makes $30 million. He's Juan Soto. He's about to make $600 million. What should Aaron Boone tell him to make that happen? Should Aaron Boone pull him off the field? If your answer is yes, okay, let's see how that goes. Like, I understand the fundamentals, the poor base running, that's all on Boone. And the base running hasn't been that bad this year. It shows up at times. It's been worse than previous seasons by far. So there's fundamental issues. There's all stuff that leads back to the manager. 100%, I'm not arguing it. But, like, Verdugo not running it out. I hate that Boone defends it, but you think, I mean, all right, so, like, you think he's hitting, the real problem isn't that he doesn't run the first base. The problem is he doesn't get to first base. And I just have a hard time believing the idea that these mistakes are all from players who just go, hey, it's okay because the manager thinks it's okay. But Boone certainly hasn't helped it, and it's been a problem with this team. But I'm not trying to fix this group. Like, that's the ship has sailed. Like, I'm not trying to instill hustle to first base. Right, that's what spring training is for, and the 162. Now it's a playoff push. Here's the problem. I don't care about Verdugo running to first base. I don't care about it. He shouldn't be allowed to have the opportunity. It's over for him. Maybe next year he'll be great. I have no idea. He had a bad year. They have other options to play other people. Instead of him, he's lousy. That's the problem. The problem is Verdugo sucks. The problem isn't that he doesn't run to first base. We can make it one. You want to make it one, that's fine. Over the course of 162, maybe it is. There's 22 games left. Us being happy with him grounding out to first base the way we like him to ground out to first base is not the problem. How he grounds out to second base isn't the problem. The problem that he's allowed to do it four times a night is the problem. And they have a decision on their hands here with an off day heading into the stretch run of the season with an opportunity, without question. The Yankees are good enough to win the World Series. Say it with me now. The Yankees are good enough to win the World Series. They've got to start acting like it. And they've got to put their best foot forward. 888-808-1019. Ben in Rochester. What's up, Ben?
Chris, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Enjoyed the monologue. I'm glad you brought up the point that Birdie is kind of a natural replacement for DJ LeMahieu at this point.
Yeah.
But at the risk of beating a white horse here, had a point about Clay Holmes wanted to make with something with his stats I had a hunch on, and I kind of got confirmation of it, and I wasn't able to get to him earlier in the day. But so Clay Holmes' ERA through May 19th was zero.
Yeah.
May 20th, he gave up four runs, and his ERA has been over 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened on May 19th? They started using the walkout song in the light show.
The white horse? Oh, and the light show. I got you. Okay, yeah. Yes. Yeah. You think that's what it is? You think it's Chris Stapleton?
Not seriously. Yeah. It makes me wonder if there's anything with, like, you know, added pressure that they're kind of elevating him and giving him that honorific like that. But, I mean, honestly, I feel like, it was kind of, the zero ERA was kind of fool's gold.
Oh, no doubt. Anyway. No, earlier he had a couple of, he had a couple of, as much as I'd like to talk about the one in Baltimore, like, I think there are a couple of blown saves that were bad luck for him. I'll continue to say that because I believe it to be true. You don't have to. I do. There were also a couple of games where he was lucky to not have a blown save early in the year. There's no doubt. He was pitching very well to start the year. He wasn't pitching to a zero ERA well to start the year. You had the play at the plate from Soto at the start of the year, a couple of great defensive plays. Like he was a bit lucky to make it through the first 2 months of the season clean, no doubt. I do think some of the 11 blown saves are one, obviously, completely. I take zero. He gets zero blame for me. I know that upsets people because he walked a couple guys. He got four outs. Verdugo fell down. I'm sorry. They might still be playing the 2000 World Series right now if Bernie Williams fell down on Mike Piazza's fly ball. Like, I mean, you can't fall down. And I also think they play defense behind him terribly. He is a sinker ball pitcher who, against left-handed pitchers, the sinker ball naturally goes down and away, much like a changeup, only harder, but down and away to lefties, and they're shifting as if they're expecting lefties to pull. Watch that Sunday night game against Detroit. Now, he gave up two hits. Don't get me wrong. He gave up two hits, and with the way the catchers can't throw anybody out, a single's a double. He did give up the two hits. I'm not exonerating him from it. But if you watch it, that is a ground ball right to the shortstop, and they are playing completely out of position for left-handed batters against them. I don't understand it. And I still think that Clay Holmes has thrown the ball relatively pretty well. And he's one of, if not, you know, their best reliever. I still believe that. But 11's 11. And now it's become a thing, and he was particularly awful the other night. They did what they had to do. And we'll see whether or not he's part of the mix. I wouldn't expect it to be the first couple of games of save opportunities, and hopefully they come across one or two. But eventually he's going to get back in the mix. Because I think they believe, and I believe it too, that as of right now, he's their best option to be the closer. I know that sounds crazy. Him pitching his best is their best option. I don't view a better option. He's had 8 innings in the postseason. He's allowed 0 runs in 8 innings. So I know there's the pressure of the 9th. I know there's the pressure of the postseason. Again, I don't think he's closed games in the postseason, but he's pitched 8 innings in the postseason, 0 runs. 0. Small sample size, but again, I have not closed the book on Clay Holmes. I think they did what they had to do, and we'll see if they work him back in. It's only 22 games, but I am not done with Clay Holmes. I know most of you are, and we'll see. I'm open to the idea that he never closes again if someone steps up and runs with it. I don't think it's Luis Gil. But that's the first thing they absolutely have to figure out. Roger in Princeton. What's up, Roger?
Hey, the first thing I want to do is apologize for the waterfall that came out of my mouth without letting you get a word in there last night.
No, it's okay, Roger. It happens. I'm often prone to waterfalling myself.
Just emotional because I've been a fan for like 47 years now of the Yankees. And sure. These last two decades, I've just had enough of Cashman. And I just feel like you're right about the it's not total doom and gloom, but I don't see how it can change when the top of the food chain is so inept. I mean, you got the owner who's, it comes off like he's afraid that he can't find a better option if he fires Cashman, but Cashman's like made enough mistakes with money. He keeps bringing in guys that keep getting injured, and then underneath Cashman is Boone, who like for this team, as bipolar as they are, they need somebody that's a mover and a shaker. Boone is plain yogurt. He just does everything by the textbook, and he massages personalities to try and keep everybody happy. You got to have somebody that's like looking at the situation, got a pulse on the like how things are going at the present, and pull some strings, do some stuff to make other teams uncomfortable. You know, double steals, hit and run. You don't have.
They don't have the players. Like they got, they put like they put, they got Jazz Chisholm at the trade deadline. They put Jazz and Volpe in the lineup together. I think they over the last 2 weeks they have 2 double steals. He didn't have the players to do it. Well, who do you want him to double steal with? Guys who can't run?
No, I mean, I'm just saying that there's times when you just have to try to put pressure on the opposing team by doing things they don't expect.
They have the most runs scored in the American League.
I'm not like disagreeing with you that they have talent. They have a lot of high-paid talent, but the consistency throughout the lineup for just, you know, at least making contact with the ball when they need to move a runner over or get a sack fly. It's bipolar. They don't show up all the time.
I get that, but that's where. But my point is that's the players. Like, what would you like them to do? Like you say, do something. You said double steal. I just told you they've done it twice in the last week and a half.
Once they finally got the players to do it. Okay, well, how many games would you say that they lost? Because of those, like you were making a point of it about they shift out of position for who they have on the mound. I just feel like a manager's got to have a pulse for how the other team's swinging the bat, whether they can get around on somebody or not, whether they're late. He just doesn't seem to show that he's got that instinct, that pulse. Now, granted, I grew up watching Billy Martin, and it was the polar opposite. But, you know, I just feel like he's cost them at least 8 games this year.
I think that's crazy. I totally
disagree. I'm with you on Clay Holmes as far as he's gotten kind of his defense has done him no favors a few times.
Yeah.
You know, because the type of contact that he's given up, it's not hard hit, and yet he ends up on the short end of the stick.
Yeah, no doubt, Roger. And the other night was hard hit. And he's had some games where he's hard hit. A lot of the blown saves, like this is where I would put the Clay Holmes blown saves. He has the same number of typical blown saves that any average closer has. And then he has the extra ones where he gets beat by his soft contact, even when he's at his best. So that's why the number is so high. But it's high enough where I can't quibble with it. They did what they had to do. I still believe in Clay Holmes more than most, but they did what they had to do. You couldn't just continue to throw him out there. And we'll see what happens. But, like, again, you have to have the roster to do these things. Like, they got Verdugo in hopes of having a contact player. Like, we all, at the beginning of the year, Verdugo's going to be good. Verdugo's exactly what this team needs, a left-handed contact hitter. The guy hits 270, 280 for his career, but he's been awful. How are you gonna play? Hitting Verdugo would be the perfect guy to hit and run with. He can't. He sucks. Double steals with whom? I'm watching Giancarlo hit right now with Giancarlo, who can't run. Who should they double steal with? They got Jazz Chisholm at the trade deadline. They've had a couple double steals. He's been running the base paths. He's been stealing bases. They have him and Volpe. That's it. What do you want them to do? They're losing games. When they lose games, you blame the manager. That's like, I have much more of a problem with the attitude he's cultivated than the in-game decision making. I watched him, and again, you don't have to harken back a couple of years and everything, but we all like to over with Cashman and everybody. In 2019, they lost damn near everyone. Everybody. Stanton missed a whole year. Judge missed 100 games. The first series, they lose Andujar. They lost everybody. Everybody. And Aaron Boone navigated the season with Mike Tauchman and Cameron Maben and Gio Urshela and Luke Voit. He hasn't had it. Last year's team was abysmal. This year's team, like, he doesn't, I get you, he shouldn't be playing DJ LeMahieu, but look at the team, and they still have the, you know, they've scored the most runs. Don't tell, offensively, what would you like them to do? We watch baseball games, right? This is the other, like, we say, watch the games. You watch the games, like, other than because the Yankees can't throw anybody out and the Red Sox would steal bases and other teams run, like, how many hit and runs do you see against them? How many sacrificed bunts are there against the Yankees? The Yankees, over the course of the stretch, have had a bunch of sack flies. They have manipulated. They have. How many? We've seen it a bunch here over the last week. Nobody wants to acknowledge it because they've lost, and I'm not trying to defend them. But, like, I'm just saying, like, Jazz got on base, stole second base, ground ball to second base. Moved him over to third, sacrifice fly. We've seen it four times in the last 2 weeks. That exact thing. Jazz Chisholm stealing third, throw past the third baseman, comes home to score a run. Like, you need players like Jazz Chisholm to be able to do it. They have been doing it more since they've gotten since you've seen Wells establish himself in the middle of the lineup, and you have more athleticism in Jazz Chisholm. They have tried to do it. Jazz has been stealing bases. They have been moving him over and scoring for sacrifice flies. They have run the bases better. He should have scored from third, first base on a single. You needed the players to do it. Steven Holmdel, what's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Chris, I want to make a Juan Soto comment, but I just need to know, why didn't Austin Wells play tonight? I must have missed it.
He got hit in the hand 2 days ago, so he's still banged up.
Oh, I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, he's still banged up. He's sore a little bit. They gave him a couple days. Hopefully he's back Friday.
I missed that one. Okay, thanks, Chris. Yeah. The little comment I want to make is, I don't know if you watched the very first inning that they played against the Cardinals on Sunday, okay? Soto hits, it's the bottom of the first. Soto's up. He hits a line drive to right field, and he's trotting out of the box like he normally does. The right fielder bungles the play. The ball literally rolls 20 feet behind the right fielder, not like a foot away. And he should have been standing on second base. Instead, he's stuck
on
first
base. When was this? Which game was this?
This was on Sunday. The first inning of the game on Sunday.
Okay.
Anyway,
trying to remember the play.
Listen, that was the crazy 14-7 game.
Yeah.
So clearly that play gets obscured by the rest of the game, but it's just the little things. So now Soto's on first base instead of second. Then on a full count to Judge, Judge gets Soto's running. Judge gets called out on strike.
Yeah.
And Soto stops between first and second base.
No, he
and
he didn't. He just got thrown out. He just got thrown out. He didn't stop. It's a 3-2 count. He doesn't get a great job because it's not a straight stolen base. He's running on a 3-2 count. He's got to make sure the guy goes home. It's not a great jump. If Judge gets struck out looking, he's going to get thrown out at second base. It's Soto. He's not fleet of foot. He's not a base stealer. He's running because they trust Judge not to strike out. Or in that moment, they trust that particular time, they trust the Judge not to strike out, look to put the ball in play. He didn't stop. I watched the play. I don't remember him stopping. He just, because he was going to get tagged out. He was debating on how to slide. He stopped 2 feet before the bag because he was going to be out by a mile. And I don't remember that play. I might have missed the beginning of that game and went back and just fast-forwarded through the rewatch. On Sunday, it was Labor Day weekend. I was barbecuing a little bit. I don't remember that play. I've had no problem with Soto's hustle out of the bait on the as a hitter. He's been a little lackadaisical and just flat out bad in the outfield as of late. And you know what? So is Judge. And let's be honest. Part of the reason they've lost three series in a row, look at Judge and Soto's numbers. We can scream about Verdugo running to first base. What's more impactful? Judge hitting 130 over the last nine games or how Verdugo ran to first base? We might get pissed at one. One might have, and sets me off too. I'm not saying it doesn't. It's unacceptable, whole bit. Not trying to not say that it's okay. What I'm saying is why did the Yankees lose? Did they lose because Judge and Soto have been hitting 100 hitters over the last nine games? Or because on an easy ground out, Verdugo didn't hustle to first base? Which is more impactful in why the Yankees have lost this series? And again, I'm sorry, but I don't think it's a knock on a team that went out there and has, you know, went out and traded for Juan Soto and has Judge and Soto, and we call them Ruth and Gehrig. He hit his 38th home run last night. He's going to have 40. Judge is going to have damn near 60. And they have this middle of the lineup, Ruth and Gehrig, Mickey and Maris, you know, the greatest tandem of all time. But it's, you know, you can't just live off them. No, you can't live off them, but you can't let them kill you. I'm telling you right now. You can have everything that I screamed about in the open can happen. They can bring up Birdie. They can bring up Dominguez to play left field. They could do everything we want. They could designate DJ LeMahieu for assignment. They could send Verdugo to Siberia. If Judge and Soto hit 100 in a playoff series, they're going to lose. Plain and simple, they're going to lose. Garcia was unbelievable for the Tigers, for the Rangers last year. He's hitting 200 this year. They're eight games under 500. You want Mookie Betts was great in the 2020 World in the playoffs. They won the World Series. Mookie Betts is hitting under 100 in the postseason since. They get eliminated in the first round every year. Like it's really not that hard to explain. Like I'm not saying they need to put their best team around those two players. They need Dominguez up here. They need to stop trotting out DJ LeMahieu. They need to stop this nonsense. But if Judge and Soto are going to hit a buck 20, they're not going to win. And you can call that Brian Cashman's fault, and you will. If they lose the series, no matter how they lose it, we will. We'll blame Cashman, we'll blame Boone, fine, that's true. Judge was awful in the postseason 2 years ago. What do you think the Yankees are going to do if Judge is terrible? Should they win that series? Should they beat the Houston Astros that's been the best team of this decade? a team that's can hit the ALCS 8 times in a row, that has a bunch of players, whether they trade them away, get rid of them, they bring in other players. They have been a proven great playoff team. We've seen Tucker come through in the postseason, and he's in the secondary conversation after the 2017 championship. But we've seen him and Alvarez, never mind, obviously, Altuve and Bregman. All these guys continue to hit and hit and hit in the postseason. You expect to beat that team with Judge not doing anything? Because right now we clamor and we scream and we go nuts. That with Judge in his prime, this is how you're going to treat this team with Judge in his prime. You got Juan Soto and you got Aaron Judge, and this is the crap you put around him. You got to give Judge an opportunity to win a World Series. 100% agree. All of that's accurate. If Judge isn't going to help, they're not going to win. That whole statement relies on Judge being in his prime. Now, I expect him to perform in the postseason. I'm not knocking Judge right now. He's having a great year. And he's allowed to have a week where he hit 130. And they should still be able to beat these teams. I'm just saying, like, that's part of the reason. They need Judge and Soto to be the heartbeat of the team. And if we get to the postseason as New York Yankee fans and we're rooting for our team, it doesn't matter who's closing. It doesn't matter who's their third starter. It doesn't matter who's the cleanup hitter. It doesn't matter if DJ LeMay, who's the right-handed hitting first baseman. None of that matters if Judge and Soto aren't going to hit. Bill in Virginia. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Chris. Hey. Bingo on the points you just made. And I'll go further, which is that if they get to the playoffs, assuming the same batting order, if Glaber's not hitting, okay, even if Soto hits in the two hole,
yeah,
whoever they play, I think they're going to, I don't know if Judge is going to get the opportunity to hit, because I would walk him, even with Stanton behind him, I would walk him until Stanton or Wells or whoever proves that they could beat me. But I wanted to get to some other points about the Yankees in general, which is, I agree with your monologue in general, all the points you made, but going back to Cashman, if I were a Yankees fan, what would frustrate me is if you look at Dombrowski with the Philly, Cashman, Yankees spend money.
Yep.
You know, he's not running the team like the Brewers, but he's, you got Dombrowski in Philly and Preller in San Diego.
Yeah.
Those guys take risks and they swing for the fences. San Diego trades for Taylor Scott, right? Got Dombrowski signing. No, I mean, he's striking while the iron's hot. While he's got all these guys in his prime. We're going to do everything we can to win.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees.
He also traded away Juan Soto.
Look how Flaherty's pitching for the Dodgers now, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Astros trade for Kikuchi. And I remember everybody's like, oh, they gave up a lot, two major league ready prospects who aren't really doing very much. And Kikuchi's pitching really well for the Astros now.
Yeah, they
do. Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees, how they did, the bullpen, not trying to get Taylor Scott, you're the Yankees. I mean, you don't know if you're going to have Soto in the future. You have to do everything you can to win this year.
But how do you know, we don't know what happened there. Everyone, I don't know if you've seen the reports, a lot of teams, apparently the Yankees were shopping their best prospect. Apparently the Yankees were shopping, I got 3 a.m. brain Jones. Again. Spencer Jones. Thank you, Fliegelman. Apparently, they were shopping Spencer Jones. Reports are that other teams aren't as high on him. The Yankees might not have had a package that they liked as much as San Diego. Everyone just assumes, why didn't you go out and get him? Everything we've read since is that Spencer Jones was out there on the docket. They were offering him to teams. They didn't like him. Now, you want to argue that they didn't build up their farm system good enough to be able to make trades? Okay, that's a different discussion. They might not have had a package in their farm system that the Marlins liked as much as the one they got from San Diego. What would you like them to do?
So if that's true, I agree. That's a fair point. And I guess what I would say in response to that, though, is it's Flaherty, right? That was the medicals.
No,
right? They wouldn't trade for him because of the medicals.
Yeah, that was the initial report. And then Cashman kind of poo-pooed that, but maybe that's possible, yes. And they might have been gun-shy on the idea that they traded for Montas with questionable medicals 2 years ago, and it blew up in their face. But Yes, that's definitely possible.
But I mean, I guess my larger point is even if you look beyond this year and you look in prior years, and hey, Chisholm was a great trade, fantastic. I give all props for that.
Okay, it was,
but you know, like I look at there's very few most of the general managers in Major League Baseball today. A lot of them are constrained by the markets they're in.
Yeah,
but you know, think about the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs. Mm-hmm. And how they manage their teams, and you know, and like they should be, they print money. Teams like that should be as aggressive as possible.
You see, I think you got a better. I think you got a better.
I feel like Cashman doesn't go to last mile.
Well, listen, first of all, the money isn't Cashman. The money is the owner. Now you could make an argument that the owner makes his percentage of money made and money going out has gotten worse and worse and worse. There's no doubt about it. Now he still spends a lot of money. And it should be enough to win, and that's his mindset, but it's not crazy money. And he doesn't like putting money in the other team's pocket. And let me tell you something, his father wouldn't have liked it either. But this is where Cashman's made bad trades, but the idea that he never, I mean, how many trades did they make 2 years ago to try to bolster that team? This year he didn't do enough with the bullpen, but they traded for Jazz Chisholm. And again, the trade deadline has changed so dramatically. I'm not saying he did enough. He didn't. I've been killing him for not doing enough for the bullpen at the trade deadline. But it's hard for me to get a read on how the trade deadline works these days when it's just been so bizarre and the added playoff teams have made it more difficult to kind of, everyone's in it. You don't know who's buying or selling. And again, they made a deal where they gave up like three of their top seven prospects for Scott. You don't know if the Yankees had an opportunity to get that player. We just talk about it like, oh, if they would have just given up Spencer Jones, they would have had him. Reports are teams weren't on his high. You know how many times he struck out? Like, he's just gotten hot now. He had a miserable start to his season, and he struck out a million times. Other teams didn't value him the way we do and just talk about him like, oh, Spencer Jones, sure, you could get anyone you want. If Ronald Acuna became available, just trade him. Spencer Jones, you'd get him. They should have done more. There's absolutely. But it's just hard to get a feel. But like Brian Cashman always makes moves at the deadline. Always. Like, did he go out and get Castillo? No, he settled for Montas. Sure. Totally agree. He went out and traded for three bullpen guys. He traded for Bader in the outfield. Like, he made a bunch of moves. We can go back to, like, he's always in the trade. They don't have an option. Sometimes it's come back to bite them. They've made trades that have hurt them long term because they had to. They needed left-handed power. They went out and got Joey Gallo. I know we laugh now. Ha, ha, ha. Who was on pace for 50 home runs in Texas. Two-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove winner on pace for 45 home runs. Traded for him and Rizzo when they needed left-handed power. Traded for the ace starting pitcher. Again, I'm having 3 o'clock in the morning brain. Excuse me, Fliegelman, because I'm stupid. Who is the starting pitcher that they traded for from Oakland that me and Marco constantly yell about a handful of years ago?
Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray, thank you. Sonny Gray. These turned out to be disasters. I'm certainly not trying to tell you what a great move from Brian Cashman, but the idea that was the best pitcher on the market, and he traded away five of his top prospects. I'm just saying, to say he doesn't take the swings is unfair. The swing and miss, you've got a great argument. But the idea that he doesn't take the swing, this year he didn't do enough for the bullpen. Totally agree. And again, the trade deadline has changed. I have a tough time reading it. And their prospects, they traded for Juan Soto in the offseason. Like, they ran out of prospects that other people value enough to get the premier guys who got moved. He didn't do enough. But let's not act like Brian Cashman never takes swings. He does. He swings and misses way too much. That's the issue. And certainly, over the last 3 years in particular, it's almost exclusively swing and miss.